morning, if you turn to Ephesians chapter number 2, once again, Ephesians chapter number 2, we've been looking at the matter of the proof of God's love for us. The picture that we've seen about ourselves is not a pretty sight. In fact, it's not something we readily like to admit, but it's the truth about us, isn't it? We've seen ourselves as God saw us before we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We were spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. That means that we walked according to the error of our own ways. We were born with a hint to sin, that sin nature, and we walked according to that nature. We walked according to the course of this world, the way everybody in the world walks, the way they go. The broad road leading to hell, that's what we were on, the course of this world. We walked according to the prince of the power of the air. We were children of disobedience. We were children of the devil. And what our Father wanted us to do, we did. We walked according to the spirit that still works in the children of disobedience. Our manner of living was wrapped up in fulfilling our lust, fulfilling the desires of our flesh. And by our very nature, we were the children of wrath. That's what the Scripture says. I know some may want to say, well, I wasn't all that bad. But we were. We may not have been as bad as others, but we were bad. We missed the mark. So last week, you can miss the mark a little bit or you miss the mark a lot. Missing the mark is missing the mark. The Bible says in the eyes of God, we were all that bad. Then the Bible picks up in verse 4. I like these two words. But God. Amen. Out of being dead in trespasses and sins, walking the way that we walked in our sins, but God, verse 4, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. This morning I want you to see several things with regard to this passage of Scripture. And the title of this message is, But God. Amen. We were unclean, but God is rich in His mercy. Amen. God is great or rich in His mercy. There in verse number 4, there are many aspects to God's mercy. His tender pity, His kindness, His forgiveness, His compassion. The psalmist put it this way in Psalm 86, verse number 15, But Thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. Aren't you glad there was enough mercy to go around? What do you think of all the people that have ever been born on the face of this earth? We're talking a lot of sinners, aren't we? I mean, right now in this world, there's approaching 8 billion. I mean, it's over 7 billion, I know, and it's rapidly going toward that direction of 8. And when you take a look at, that's just people that are living now. But you think all the way back to Adam, the number of people who have been born in sin, and have sinned, and have sinned egregiously against God, and have fought God, and have walked in ways that did not please God, yet God is plenteous in His mercy. Today I just want us to think of God's mercy as it relates to our salvation. I think we're familiar with Titus 3, verse number 5 through 7. It says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. And that's, it's not a one of us that could be saved according to our works of righteousness. There's no amount that we could have done, no amount that we could do, or ever even think about doing, that would merit anything before God. It's according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost. Listen to what verse 6 says. Which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. God shed His mercy on us abundantly. There's so much in us that was undone. So much in us that deserved the wrath of God. But God, through Jesus Christ, but God was rich in His mercy. That being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Man, what a turnaround, right? To go from an heir of the lake of fire to an heir and joint heir with Jesus Christ and all that He has from the Heavenly Father. 1 Peter 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His, listen, according to His abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We've been singing this morning the songs have been pointing to the fact that one of these days we're going to see the Lord face to face. And that's going to take place because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the fact that we are in Him means that we are going to be resurrected. The whole chapter of 1 Corinthians 15 bears that out. We are part of that resurrection. Jesus was just the first fruits. But one of these days, we're going to be a part of that. We're going to stand before Him. We have a lively hope by that resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Psalm 86, verse number 5 says, for Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon Thee. The sad part about it is there's nothing wrong with the richness and the plentifulness of His mercy. There's abundant mercy, but some folks will not trust Him for salvation. Think about it. Mercy available. Mercy is there for the taking. God's provided it. Jesus paid the price, paid a great price, and shedding His only, shedding His life on the cross of Calvary and raising again from the dead. Listen, He was bruised for our transgressions. He's ready to forgive. He's plenteous in mercy, but it's only unto all them that call upon Him. We were unclean, but God is great in His mercy. Second of all, we were unlovely, but God is great in His love. There was nothing in us that would cause God to want to love us. I mean, we were full of sin. God is too holy to even look upon sin. But God loved us. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, there in verse number 4. When the Bible says that God is great in His love, we need to know what kind of love it's talking about. It's not talking about love in terms of what most of this world thinks when they hear the word love. Man, the English word love has just really been destroyed, hadn't it? It's been misused and abused. Some folks don't even know what real love is. The Greek language had three words for what we would translate and what is translated as love in our English language. The first one is not found in the Bible, is eros. It's a physical love. And that's not even used in the Bible. And that's the way that most people think about love, is that physical thing. That's not love. It's pretty much lust is what it is. Then there's phileo. Phileo is affection and friendship. In fact, different forms of the word translated brotherly love, love of children, love of the husband, love of mankind, love of God, love of hospitality, but even goes into some bad stuff, love of self and love of pleasure. That's the affection and friendship, phileo. But when we talk about God's love, the God's love is a giving, it's a sacrificial love. It's a different word, it's agapeo. It's a giving sacrificial love. It's seeking the highest good for another, even at great cost to the one giving that love. That's the love that God had for us. It cost Him His only begotten Son for us to receive His love. But love is God's nature. 1 John 4:8 says, "For God is love." 1 John 4:16 says, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us." God is love. Twice in that same chapter it says, God is love. It's part of His nature to love. And Jesus Christ is God's manifestation of love toward sinners. What Jesus did, John speaks about in 1 John 4, verse 9 through 10, says, "And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." There's not a one of us that started loving God first. Not a one. Love came this way first. Love came seeking us. Love came looking for us. God's love was already active in this world when we got here. Amen. Romans 5 verses 6 through 8 says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man one will die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." I want you to think about, just for a moment, the most wicked people that you know, most wicked person that you know, or that you think about. Think about, I guess we would all agree that ISIS fighters, probably about the lowest of the low lives that there are. And from what I've read, seen on the news of what they do, they are some of the most wicked people that can be imagined. But they're not the only ones. But let's just take them for a moment. How many of us would give our lives to save one of them? Any takers? But could I tell you that Jesus gave His life that any of those could be saved if they would turn to Him and repent of their sin? That's right. The most wicked, heinous, you think of the large murderers. You can take Adolf Hitler. You know that Jesus died for Adolf Hitler? He did. Now, I don't know that Adolf Hitler ever trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior before he died. We don't have any record of it. But had he, after having killed all the millions that he was responsible for killing, had he turned in repentance and faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus would have saved him. Now, we don't understand that. That's because we can't understand the love of God, can we? You can't understand the depth of God's love, and I can't understand the depth of God's love, but that's the depth of God's love. Whosoever. And whosoever means whosoever. Amen? "For God so loved the world that gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." We were unclean, but God's great in His mercy. We were unlovely, but God's great in His love. We were undeserving, but God is great in His grace. The very word grace is the fact that it's not deserved. It's unmerited favor. I like the acrostic, God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace literally means favor. And biblical grace means the unmerited eternal salvation of God, which comes freely to the believing sinner through the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ, what Christ did on the cross. It's receiving the opposite of what we deserve. Now, understand God's great in His mercy. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve. Every one of us in here, we deserve the lake of fire. But we don't get that if we know the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior. We don't get what we do deserve. That's mercy. But not only do we not get what we do deserve, we get what we don't deserve. We don't deserve the riches of heaven, do we? There's not one of us in here that are worthy to be heirs and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ, but we are through what Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary. That's grace. Getting what you don't deserve is grace. Salvation by grace means that salvation is not attained, nor is it maintained by human works. Rather, it's a free gift from God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ's finished work there on the cross of Calvary. When you think about a gift, you know, someone, if you were to give someone a gift, would you not be insulted if they wanted to work for that gift? You say, wait a minute. I said it's a gift. It's not something you work for. You ain't got to do anything for it. I gave it to you as a gift. And that's the same way with people trying to do something to merit salvation that is a free gift of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's eternal gift, eternal life. Here's Jesus. Really believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you have, and here's the gift of eternal life. Salvation by grace through faith alone is the gospel preached by the apostles and revealed to us in the Bible. Salvation is through Christ alone. It's by grace alone. It's through faith in Him alone. Look at Romans chapter number 3 for just a moment. Romans chapter number 3. And verse number 24. Romans 3, verse 24. Now, of course, we know verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We saw that truth last week. Being justified, though, freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation. He's the satisfaction of our sin. That word propitiation looks to that blood atonement. When the Israelites would kill the animal and on the Day of Atonement, and they would go into the Holy of Holies, and they would make that, they would put that blood there on the altar. It's that, that's the propitiation. That's what gave them the forgiveness for that next year. Whom God set Jesus Christ to be our propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It's excluded. There's not a one of us can boast. Amen. By what law? Of works? Nay, by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Praise God for that too, because I are one. And you are one too. I don't think we got any Jews in here. Verse 30. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith, that's the Jews, and uncircumcision, that's the Gentiles, through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? You go in the Old Testament Scripture, and this is what it says. So Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. His faith was counted for righteousness. Verse 4. Now to him that worketh is the reward, not working, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Think about it. Your faith is counted for righteousness. You get the righteousness of Christ added to your account just by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing. Even as David, verse 6, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered, Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Listen, I'm a sinner, but God's not going to impute my sin to me. He's imputed it to Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. This is the gospel of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, without works of any kind. Now, Paul also described the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. We're not going to turn there, but the gospel is wrapped up there. It talks about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. How that Christ died for our sins according to Scripture. He was buried and He raised again the third day according to Scriptures. That's the gospel. There's not one word about works or sacraments or any other thing by which we obtain salvation. And there's no other name. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. When the Philippian jailer asked Paul and Barnabas, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They replied, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ taught the same thing to Nicodemus in John 3. When he told him, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. In John 3:18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. It's through faith in Christ and Christ alone. John the Baptist taught his disciples in John 3:36 to look to Jesus. He didn't say, well, you just do the best you can. Oh, just be sincere about what you believe, and no matter who you believe or what you believe in, just be sincere about what you do. No, no, he said in John 3:36, he said, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That's what he said. And in John 6, verse 28 and 29, listen to what Jesus taught. There were some folks there that said, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on Him who He sent. You know, they were looking to want to do something to get salvation. Oh, you want to do something? Believe on the one that God sent. Believe on the one that the Father sent. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Not popular in our day and time, not popular in the culture in which we live, but still the truth of the Word of God, and will be the truth of the Word of God throughout all eternity. A common error made by man, even today, is to attempt to intermingle grace and law, or to intermingle faith and works. But my friend, it is nothing but the blood of Jesus. We sing that song, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We were so undeserving, but thank God He was great in His grace. Then, last of all, we were undone, but God is great in His works. Think about how undone your life was. You know, when creation was marred by sin in the Garden of Eden. You know, when God, remember God created, Jesus went to all the trouble. Jesus was the Creator, by the way, according to the book of Colossians. But God, just think about it. God created the heavens and the earth, and He went through the six days of creation, rested on the seventh, but He did a marvelous work in creating what He created. He was great in His creation. He saw that it was good. But then sin entered in, right? There, the disobedience of Eve and Adam, there as they partook of the fruit of the tree that had been forbidden. And things were undone. Sin entered in, and we were undone. But God is great in His works. Just like He created the first time, He can recreate, can He? He recreated us in Christ Jesus. God's not only great in His creation, He's great in His redemption. Amen. He's great in His resurrection. He's great in His salvation. He's great in His what He does in our life, the work of sanctification. He's great in His glorification. He was glorious in the past. He was glorious in His first coming. He was glorious when He ascended up. He's glorious now. And He's going to be glorious in His second coming. All those are truths in Scripture. But listen, friend, He's great in ways past finding out. And thank God that He had the ability to work that recreating work in us. Amen. Notice back in Ephesians 2, verse number 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. That word hath means it's something that happened at a particular point of time in the past. When we were dead in sins, He quickened us. When you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, He quickened you in Christ. By grace you're saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. There's a guarantee that we're going to be glorified as Christ is glorified. I'd call that great in God's work, don't you? When you look at us and realize, you know, that we don't deserve it, do we? We don't. But one of these days, He's going to change us in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And in the ages to come, look at verse number 7. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. You know, I think we only get a smackerel. Just a small taste. Smackerel, that's a good Winnie the Pooh word. Those of you that have children, you remember that. You look in the honey pot and there's just a little bit in there. But just a taste. Right here, we just get a taste, don't we? Just a taste. But listen, we're going to be with Christ for all eternity. And in the ages to come, He's going to show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. I think things are going to be unveiled. We're just going to go, wow. God did that for me in Christ. Wow. He's great in His works. We were undone. Listen, He's reversed all that. All that's going to be reversed one day. We're as good as there. I mean, we're seated in heavy places in Christ. I mean, it's as good as done. It's guaranteed it's going to happen. When God gives a guarantee, you ain't got to wonder whether He can back up the guarantee or not, do you? You know, when you get a guarantee on something that you buy, that guarantee is only as good as the company that stands behind it, and if the company that stands behind it stays in business. Right? That company goes out of business, and you got the guarantee, and you go looking for somebody to fulfill that guarantee, they're not there, are they? No. God ain't going nowhere. God's going to fulfill the guarantee that He's given to us through Christ Jesus. I'm glad for that phrase, but God. Are you? Do you have that but God in your life? You know, there might be somebody here today just kind of leaning on your own. And, you know, preacher, I just kind of do my own thing. I've always believed this way, and I just always, this is the way I see it. Why don't you just cast that junk aside and go on what the Bible says, okay? Look at what the Word of God says. Embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on what Christ has done for you, and get His salvation in your heart and life if you don't have it. And if you do have it, man alive, that ought to transform the way that you live. What we just shared this morning about what Christ has done for us, it ought to affect our day-to-day walk, hadn't it? Amen. Let it affect you. Let it not just be something that you just smile about on the inside. Man, let it transform itself to the outside. Let it work. Let God's salvation work in you out. You know, when Paul said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, that's what he's talking about. That let salvation that's in you work its way out. That's what he's talking about. It's not about working for your salvation. It's to let the salvation that's working in you work its way out so that it affects others. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the great grace, the great love, the great mercy that we've seen this morning of what you did for us through Jesus Christ. Lord, if there's one here today that does not know personally that great grace, I mean, maybe they've heard it before and they've heard it over and over before, but it's just not been real in their lives. They've been depending on themselves and what they can do and what they can give and depending on something other than Christ to make it to heaven. Help them to cast all that aside and embrace Jesus today. Help them to see the truth. I know Satan wants to keep them blinded. You know, the Word of God says something and Satan says, oh, nobody believes that. You know, that's just old-fashioned. Nobody believes that anymore. Lord, they're blinded to the truth that truth never changes. The reality is the gospel is the same as it was in the days of Paul. It's the same as it was in the days of Abraham. It's always by grace, through faith. It's through our belief, through faith in Christ. What He has done for us. Lord, I pray that they will get that settled today. And that, Lord, if there's those of us that are saved, Lord, that the truth of this ought to work in our lives in such a way that others can see Jesus in us. It ought to be manifest on the outside, just like the love of God was manifested to us in Jesus Christ and manifested in our lives. Now that Christ is in our lives, He ought to be being made manifest to others through our lives. May that be a reality for us as Christians, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.